To inform, inspire, and empower Alcoholics Anonymous sponsorship, locally and internationally, to be their very best, both personally and spiritually. This is the mission of rumradio.org, an internet radio program dedicated to carrying the message of recovery to a world plagued by alcoholism and addiction. Alcoholism and addiction is the number one health issue in our world today, and rumradio.org is actively participating in the solution. Interviews with a plethora of people sharing their experience, strength, and hope. Live Sundays at 9 p.m. Central Time and rewound again on Saturday and Monday. Tune in to 12-Stepology at its best on rumradio.org.
Thanks, Mom. That's my mom in the audience. The only one in there, she's great, right on time. I can't believe that late at her age, she can still do this. It's amazing. She comes swinging in with her oxygen bottle, a man, and she's ready to go. There's nothing like a mother's love. Welcome and hello. This is Joseph G. with Rum Radio and rumradio.org, the most comprehensive 12-step sponsorship in the known and the unknown universe. Did you know that they just discovered a totally separate universe? I was so excited when I heard that. The first thing I did was I applied for the position of center. I'd like to acknowledge WNAH as Hoyt Carter and Tony the Horse, who affords us the opportunity to broadcast live to their listening audience in Nashville, parts of Kentucky, and Alabama. And they do this as a public service presentation. Wow, how exciting. And they charge us nothing, which is free, which is the best price to pay since we make no money on this thing. We'd also like to acknowledge RecoveryToday.net magazine. They rent some of our prints, some of the things we write, and they're going to do in February, they're going to do a piece that we wrote, 12 Steps to a Joyous and Free Life. So we're kind of excited that that's going to be going out. So it's a regional magazine, but you can get it online. So it's recoverytoday.net magazine. It's a really good journal. I like some of the things that they have in there. I'd gratefully like to introduce my co-host, Harold B. He's a family intervention specialist and does a fine work with troubled families. And I personally believe that the families are the basic unit of our society. And as the family goes, so does the nation, so does the country, and so does the world. We have found that most of the problems with drugs and alcohol, which is most of the problems today, derive from latchkey kids. Nobody's home. They're growing up like empty lot weeds. Drugs and alcohol become a rite of passage. So we're on this epidemic of drugs and alcohol. It gets worse all the time. I believe in 28 states, one of the leading causes of death from drugs is pill overdoses. Of course, Harold tell you it's going to be car accidents as well, but that's usually connected up with the drugs and alcohol as well. So we're in epidemic proportion, according to Google. You know, Google, 1,000 years from now, the anthropologists will have concluded that as a society, they all commune with an all-knowing God named Google. And Google has come up with 140 million drunks in the world. There's 2 million in the rooms of AA. As a disclaimer, we're not AA. We're not NA, and we're not CA. We're closer to Paranoids Anonymous. Nobody will tell you where to hold meetings. This is Rum Radio and rumradio.org. We use the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous because it's the basic text of all 12-step recovery. Now, other NA has their own book, and CA, I believe, and there's, you know, Sex Addicts Anonymous and all that. They all have their own literature, but they're all based in some form or other on the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. That's where all 12-step programs of recovery derive their basic understanding. So I like to use the basic text. It's the template. But we're not connected up with them at all. We're an independent. We do it on our own. We try to give information that's germane and pertinent to our experience using the Big Book and other program literature. How you doing tonight, Harold?
I'm doing great. It's nice to be here. It's nice to be alive. And the 12-step program really helped me and continues to help me. And I like being on this program because we really focus on the basics. And one of the basics is that the thing that really makes a recovery program go is going through the 12 steps so that you can learn how to help someone newer in the program go through the 12 steps. So that's our basic premise. And I just want to mention to the listeners that we do not make money on this program. It's done as a public service. It's done as our way of giving back. Not only doesn't Joseph make anything on the radio program or the website, but it costs him quite a bit of money to keep it going. So any of you who are technically savvy realize that things like this don't happen by happenstance. So, Joseph, I appreciate you footing the bill for all of this, and I appreciate the ability to give back and be on here. I'd like to mention the call-in number. If any of you listening live in the Nashville area would like to call in, we'd love to take your questions on the air. And the number is 949-534-0621. Again, that's 949-534-0621. So call in and let us know you're out there listening. We'd like to hear from you. Joseph, I'll turn it back to you.
Thank you, Harold. Oh, by the way, it's anywhere that you have a telephone, you could call in. It doesn't have to be Nashville. Basically, internet. We go out Nashville on Saturday night, so this is a rewind. Question I'm going to put to the audience. We were discussing that. We don't get too many call-ins. We've had as many as 2,400 archive listeners in a given week and as many as 40 live listeners. But it doesn't seem like anybody bothers to call in for one reason or another. And the live show seems to, you know, there's a lot of work that goes into a live show. People have to show up. Wow. You know, different people have lives and they have to make the time and, you know, make a commitment, and then some people can't come in. And so there's a little stress. So there's a lot of stress sometimes involved in a live show. We were under the impression that perhaps we should do away with the live show and just do a show and then broadcast it out. So since I'd like to get some input from some of the audience, you can write to me if you don't want to call in. It's Giuseppe, that's G-Z-E-P-E, at rumradio.org, or on Facebook, it's Joseph Ganci, G-A-N-C-I, on Facebook. We had to use our last name. My understanding is that you could say, my name is Joseph Ganci, I'm a person in long-term recovery, and it doesn't break the 11th tradition because there is no affiliation. I don't represent anybody but Rum Radio. So if you'd like to give me some input on that, what you feel would work, you know, if you agree with that or if you disagree, you like the live show. I think the live has a little bit more energy, but, you know, that remains to be seen. So we're kicking that around right now. I like to start the show with something that Monty Meyer, who put together the promo, the Star Trek promo. He says, we have a plethora of guests. I like that. Is that a great word? A plethora-asaurus of guests. A plethora. How often? When was the last time you used plethora in a sentence, Harold?
I don't know.
Not recently, I'll tell you right now. You know, like walking down, you know, saying, hi, how you doing? Have you run into any Pelethras lately? No, as a matter of fact, I think the Pelethras it's an extinct species. It's funny. He's a great guy. He really supports us quite a bit. I like to start the show with the third step prayer. It's found on page 63 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. This step, I picked up a new sponsee, which is always kind of exciting to get into it. The radio show is great. I do a lot of work on the website with understandings and writing. But the real joy of working 12 steps is working one-on-one with another alcoholic. If you think you can change the world, it's either grandiose romanticism or politics. You only change the world one man at a time. So the real joy of recovery work is working with that other newcomer and to see the light go on in his eye and know that you had a little bit to do with that. If what a sponsor does is get them into a position to recognize God in his life and that we really believe that recovery is also a physical, mental, and spiritual disease. Did you see the news, Harold? There was a fellow, what's his name, Hoffman. He's an actor. He was a famous actor. Was found with a needle in his arm.
Oh,
dead.
No.
Yeah, dead. Brilliant guy. And I believe that was probably his problem. My experience is the brilliant have a real hard time with this simple program. Somehow they're going to think their way out of it and that somehow they believe that they have some kind of immunity because of their intellect, that they're going to outthink this thing. You know what? They don't.
What?
They die.
Right.
And I've seen people barely, I mean, just challenged, let's put it to you this way, challenged people who have a very diminished capacity be able to have happy, joyous, and free lives because they can give themselves to the simple program. It's almost a barrier to be too smart in recovery.
Amen.
Harold,
that's
you find
my
that?
Finding too, yeah. Yes, that I find that.
It's a shame, you know, And when that happens, we're all at a loss. I mean, the fellow was a very talented guy, and I've enjoyed his work. He did Truman Capote. He played Truman Capote. Great, great actor. A lot of other works. And so, no, we're all at a loss. I think Hemingway said, from whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee. We're all at a loss when we lose someone. Everybody's at a loss. Nobody goes unscathed. Well, having said that, that's what we do at Rum Radio. We're starfish throwers. Red tide comes up on the beach. There's millions of starfish that got washed up. There's a guy down on the beach, and he's flinging in the starfish. Another guy comes along, and he says, what are you doing? He says, well, I'm throwing in the starfish. The ones I fling back get another chance at life. He says, yeah, but there's millions of them. He says, I know, but I save the ones I can. And that's what we do at Rum Radio. We save the ones we can. We hope it has an effect that other people will get encouraged, will get inspired, will get good information, and go out and do it too. But, you know, it's really one man at a time. So I like to start off with the third step prayer because in most meetings of recovery, it starts with a prayer. It's called an invocation. You invite in the Spirit. It ends with a prayer called a benediction, thanking that the Spirit was there with you. And most meetings in recovery, if not all meetings in recovery, regardless of the topic spin, are gratitude meetings. And an attitude of gratitude is a prayer unto God. So there's a spiritual bump involved when we do these things. But the real work of recovery is going out and getting that guy. Bill W. said, go find a prospect and start working on him. If he's not interested in what you have, go find someone else who's desperate enough to accept what you have to offer. Those are the instructions in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And they work. See, that really works. At the time when they followed that instruction, 50% got it right away, and the other 25% after a few relapses. Wow, 75% recovery. Strike up the band. That's what we're doing. We're trying to strike up that band again. It's a look back to the future. Sponsorship, a look back to the future. When I get a new sponsee, I already gave him this earlier this evening. I tell him to get a home group. That's his lifeline group. Get men's names. We believe men with men and women with women work the best because sponsorship is an intimate relationship between two people, and it could be easily misconstrued when opposite genders are involved. Hard enough as it is, why cause another hurdle? But look, the agreement is, if it is an opposite gender and you're working the steps and it's working, you know what? You work the steps. If it's not working, you can always change sponsors. A lot of the new people don't know that. They think that they pick somebody and they're shooting craps at best. They're not quite sure that there's some kind of spiritual connection. They pray and it works. But sometimes there's a lot of folks in there that don't know what they're doing, thousands. And they'll still accept the role of sponsor, but they haven't got a clue what's on page 94 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous or what to do with them. So they send them to meetings, and they have all this little jargon they hear in the rooms, which is not recovery. It's just opinions, and they're trying to get these people through with opinions. It doesn't work. Sometimes it works. Some people stay sober by going to meetings. You go to enough meetings, it'll keep you sober. But if you're not working the steps, and the steps are designed to work with a sponsor, you might be sober, but you're not in recovery. Let me repeat that. You might be sober, but you're not in recovery. Big Book says, we think a man unthinking who says sobriety is enough. So you want to think about it. Let's think about that. And this is the third step prayer. It's found on page 63. God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and do with me.
Uh-oh. I'm not hearing Joseph's voice.
I'm not either. Can you hear me, Harold?
Yes, I can hear you, Dana.
I can't hear him either.
So there's a possibility that we're on the air and he's not. So let's continue the program until he shows up again. The electronics might work out and we might hear from him in a few minutes.
God bless you.
So
this is new to you, right?
No, I've been on many times and I really enjoy hearing people's stories and hearing what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. So tell us a little bit about your recovery.
Oh, my God.
First, about the problem.
I think he's back. Are you back, Joseph?
Are you back, Joseph?
I'm back, man. Yeah, it was a drop call. I'm back. That was fast, huh? Harold, I heard Harold go, oh,
you know
there
what?
You go. Technology.
We were doing fine without you, Joseph.
Oh my goodness.
Go
I've heard that from three wives. All right, thanks a lot. You know, my third wife said, you know, I really like you because you can talk. You know, you can talk and we can converse, and she says, I'm so excited. And when we were getting a divorce, you know what she said? Don't you ever shut up?
Okay.
All right, Dana, so tell us what it was like. Give us what it was like.
All I know is that it sucked. I thought the things were good, because that's all I had was using.
Let's go back. Let's go back. Okay, you're a kid now. When did you first decide drugs and alcohol were your savior, your your made you feel real? When did that happen? When was the first time you got the twinkle?
No. Okay, well, I smoked pot when I was 14 years old.
Okay.
And I lived in California, and we smoked a lot of pot. But I still went to school, and I had a boyfriend, I had a family. It was just getting high to me. Then it was just getting high. I don't remember losing myself in getting high. I just got high, and then I didn't get high when we didn't have it. I still had my family, and I had my friends. I guess going forward, now my memory's going forward. When it was, that was when I was about 18, and I moved from California to Minnesota, and I met my mom and dad lived there because my mom moved to Minnesota, and so I moved there too, and family was important to me. And then I met someone and we smoked pot. That's all we did, we smoked pot. And then we did some coke. And we did cocaine and we drank and we smoked pot. We did cocaine and we drank. Drank. And I'm going back. I'm trying to remember the places and what I did. I just knew things were out of control.
Let me ask you this, Aiden. Did you see a transition? Okay, you're a pothead, all right? And potheads are usually fairly mellow and munchies and very passive. Now, cocaine is just the opposite. Cocaine has more of a speed kind of component to it. It revs up the motor. It keeps the brain open for longer periods of time. And then, of course, the alcohol is a depressant. So you got all kinds of, you're bouncing like a ping pong ball back and forth, right? Did you notice a change with that?
No, okay. The biggest thing for me was I was so hyper that when I did cocaine, it brought me down. It brought me down to where everybody else was because you know how like Ritalin does that with kids their ADD?
Yeah.
Whatever, okay?
Uh-huh.
Cocaine brought me down. It brought me down. So I could do the cocaine and come down. And then I'd be okay with everybody. Then I smoke pot and then I just mellow out and I just enjoy and, you know, whatever. And the alcohol, alcohol was never my drug of choice, ever. I never liked alcohol much. So go on from here. Help me, because, I mean, I'm telling you that I did.
Okay, most people who do drugs eventually will do alcohol because it's the accessibility of it. Alcohol is on every street corner, everywhere. So if you can't get anything else, there's alcohol. And alcohol will give you the buzz. Alcohol will do the job for you, but you might prefer other things. But eventually, alcohol will ring your bell. Okay, so you got that deal going. You're a teenager going into, did you go to school? What happened? Did you have any hard spots? Let me interject something right quick. Sure.
What we need to be clear on is that more people die every year from alcohol overdose than all the other drug overdoses combined.
True.
So I just want to let all the moms and dads out there know that a lot of the schools will not allow water bottles now because the kids dump out the water and put vodka in there and take it to school. Alcohol is way bigger problem than all the other drugs, and alcohol is a drug. So I just wanted to add that.
Oh, yes.
Thank you. All drugs.
One thing that I can't, that I'm remembering now is that I did go into treatment for cocaine, the powder, the cocaine. I went into treatment for that.
Now what happened between, okay, we were 14, we're doing coke, smoking, Brad, now, did you do crack or did you, how did you progress from that point? What happened?
So I went into treatment for cocaine, for the powder, for snorting.
For the powder. How old were you when you went into treatment the first time?
20.
Okay, 20. So this is 6 years. You're doing drugs for 6 years or thereabouts, and now you're out of control. So was there an intervention? How did you get there? Did you decide you woke up one morning and said, I got to go to rehab?
I just woke up. No, I didn't wake up. I had been awake. My family and people I had hurt that I could see loved me, that I was screwing up, and I knew that I needed to get help, so I got help. I'm smart. Okay, here's the thing. I'm smart, but recovery can't just be worked mentally. It's a physical and emotional sobriety that you have to get, and that's what I'm doing now. But regardless, let's go back to when I was 20. I went into treatment for cocaine. I stayed off coke. Okay, I stayed off cocaine until I realized, wow, you can freebase stuff and smoke it. Wow. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
We're going somewhere now. And that's when my life really hit freaking rock bottom. Let me tell you, I can remember standing in the kitchen, taking hits of crack while my little girl, 5 years old, is in the bedroom playing, having a good time. When I should have been with her, I'm in the kitchen smoking crack. I can remember nights when I went out on the streets in Minneapolis. The worst ice storm ever. I went out and I drove and I went and got coke. And my little girl wakes up and runs inside to the bedroom looking for mommy. Mommy's not in bed. Mommy's out getting drugs. Daddy's in bed. So he comforted her, and he knew. Unfortunately, I was married to someone who also did drugs and gave me the money to do them. He loved me more than he loved himself, and he provided the money. And I'm getting a little far ahead of myself here, but all I can remember is there was not food in the cupboard. There wasn't money for school pictures. There wasn't money for her lunches. There was nothing there because I was spending it on crack cocaine. And finally, I blew up. I had to go into treatment for that. And I went into treatment for that, and I had stayed off it. I stayed off that. I have not done that ever since I went into treatment again.
But now, that was your second time? That was your second time for treatment?
Yep.
How long were you in treatment the first time?
I was in treatment 30 years ago.
For how long? How many days?
Oh, goodness. A month?
28 days was probably the...
I was an inpatient, yeah. And then 18 years ago when I started... My daughter's 21, so maybe the 18... is a little off. My daughter's 21 now, and when I wrote this, this was a couple of years ago. But when I went in for the crack, I stayed off of that. But then I started smoking pot and drinking again. Not heavy, nothing. I worked. I brought in money. I got up every day. I went to work. I was with my family and friends, but I was still using. I was still using, and I knew after being in treatment once, I'd been in treatment twice, I knew the 12 steps, I had the tools, I knew what I needed to do, but I didn't do it. So anyway,
so this is your second time, you're in a desperate mood, so you say, okay, so instead of going for a program like AA or NA or CA, you decided, I'm going to go back to a rehab program that didn't work the first time. So I'm going to try it again.
I went back, but here's the thing. I was in an accident, okay? In 2005, November 15th, I was in an accident giving my daughter a ride to school I was not using. I had nothing in
my
system.
How long were you sober at the time? How long were you sober at the time? Or clean or whatever?
I can't remember. I'm sorry. I was
okay.
still drinking.
A couple of years?
I think I was drinking a drink or two at night at home. Before dinner or whatever, I was drinking whatever you want to call socially. I wasn't drinking all day. I was not drinking to the point that I was incoherent. But regardless, I was not drinking the morning I gave my daughter a ride to school. And
were you drinking the night before? Were you drinking the night before? Okay.
Not the night before I gave her a ride to school. Maybe two nights before.
Okay,
so I gave her a ride to school, and I got hit. And thank God she got another car. The last thing I remember telling her is, I love you twice. I then went unconscious. I was in a coma.
No, wait a minute. Your daughter was not in the car during the accident.
Yes, I was giving her a ride to school. Yes, she was in the car.
Okay. She was in the car, and then you had you were belted up, or you weren't, or what happened?
We were both belted. I had my glasses on. I got hit in the driver's side. We went into a ditch across the street. And she got out of the car. All I remember telling her is, I love you twice. Then I went unconscious. And they took me to the hospital. And she went in the police car to my parents' house, which was
she
two
was
houses
okay.
down.
Your daughter
was
okay.
She was just fine.
Okay.
Just fine. And I was in a coma until Thanksgiving Day, November 15th until Thanksgiving Day. And
how long were you into the coma?
What's November 15th? 11 days.
Okay.
And I had a brain injury, a blocked colon, ruptured bowels, fractured pelvic bones. My kidneys shut down. They cut me open in the middle. When I was in a coma, they cut me open from under my breast down to all the way down my stomach. I have a scar that still shows it. And
wow, that sounds awful.
I still have injuries that reflect from the injuries, the internal injuries. I'm seeing a doctor now that you wouldn't believe what I go through now. It's unbelievable. But I did what I did do. I got out of the hospital on January 6th, and I went and I recovered. 6 months later, I was working again. I cleaned houses and businesses for a living. I made $30 an hour in Minnesota, and I went back. My customers waited for me. They trusted me. I went back to cleaning, and I kept my jobs for 5 years, and I made good money. I went in with my walker because I broke my foot in 7 different places, my right foot. I had a walker. I had my knee pads. I had my back brace. I kept working. I did everything I could because I don't take advantage of the system.
All
and
right, let me ask you this.
Did they give you
pain pills? Are you on pain meds after this accident?
Oh, my God. You wouldn't even believe the pain pills I had. And it said, take every 4 hours, take every this. I did not take them. I took them when I was in pain, only when I was in pain. Take every 4 hours, take every 4 hours. Percocet, Vicodin, you name it, I had it. I have people that would pay for those pills. I threw them down the trash. I have never been a prescription drug user, never, ever. Had I known now what I know, had I known then what I know now, I'd be dead because I could have mixed those with all the drugs. Oh, my goodness. No. I got rid of all the painkillers, and now I take Tramadol for my lower back pain and my SI joint that's a reflection from the fractured pelvic bone. I see a pain doctor, and no, I don't take anything now, nothing. I've been through my life of drugs. My God, I can't believe people that use these prescription drugs. I can't believe it. I can't believe what I threw away and the money I would have had. But, you know, that's not the point.
Where are they now when I need them? I understand.
All I know is that...
All right, so you're working the job. You're only taking the pain pills under extreme pain. You're getting rid of them. You're getting your life back to some degree. You're working. You're productive. So what's that? Now you stay clean and sober, or what happened?
Yes, I'm staying clean and sober. And I guess a big thing for me was meeting. I met my husband on Facebook. Believe it or not, 4 years ago. He is a cop. Yep, COP cop.
All right, wait a minute. Before we get into the romance, okay, now, where does the program come in? Now, you're working your job. Do you decide, okay, I'm going to have to stay sober? When did you decide to walk into the rooms? Did you go into the rooms?
Oh, my goodness. 10 years ago? I mean, I have been a part of meetings for so long that the thing is, get this. The General Service Offices in New York, aren't they there?
Yeah, GSO. The GSO is in New York.
Yeah, okay. Get this. I moved to New York. When I was in Minnesota, there was a meeting every night, every day of the week, every night, within 10 miles of where I live. I moved to New York. I printed out 10 pages of meetings, and none of them were within 45 minutes of me. And I didn't know New York, and I didn't have I had a car when I could have it. My husband was still working in the service, the United States Air Force. He's retired now. But let me tell you something. I can't believe the infrequency of meetings in New York compared to Minnesota. I went to four or five
meetings. That's interesting. I didn't know that. I went to a meeting. I had to find one off of Broadway. I was visiting several years ago. And I had the hardest time finding this place. Of course, most AA meetings and recovery meetings, I find they're usually in places where they're difficult to find. But this thing was quite the challenge.
Yeah.
It was between a church and a rectory, in an alley,
yep,
a bookstore,
oh my God,
in the bookstore, up the second floor, and to the left. There was no address up front. I keep walking back and forth asking people, do you know where this address is? I'm standing in front of it, and there's no, it's a church.
It's paranoid.com. But, you know, I did find a meeting here close by, but it's Sunday nights at 8, excuse me, Saturday nights at 8 p.m. Every meeting I ever went to was at 7 or 7:30. 7 p.m.
All right, so
you're going
to meetings now. How did you find – you found a sponsor? Did you work the steps? How did you find the sponsor? Did the sponsor find you?
I worked the steps. I continued to work 9 through 12, okay? I worked the steps. Finally, no, I do not have a sponsor. God is my sponsor. I have.
All right. So you've never had a formal relationship with an NA or AA sponsor.
Oh yes, until 4 years ago.
Okay. Well, tell me about.
Goodness.
I want to. Yeah.
I never could have made it without a sponsor. I never could have made it without a sponsor ever.
Okay. Did she find you? Did you find her? How did that come about?
At a meeting. I went, and people share, you know, at meetings,
sure.
And I found a wonderful sponsor, and I've had three very good sponsors in the last 30 years. The thing is when I left Minnesota, I'm not going to go there.
But did you find her? Did you pick her out? You say, oh, that's the woman. She said something. She shook your hand.
Exactly, and then she said she'd be my sponsor, and she was my sponsor for 5 years. And you cannot work this program without a sponsor. All I know is right now, because of my sober friends, my Christian friends, and my life here with the meeting, that God is my sponsor, and people like you, inspiring people in my life are my sponsors. See, the thing is, Joseph, is that being emotionally sober is what has changed my life. Physically sober, I can go without drinking. I can go without using. I can go without. but I can't go without God. I can't go without friends. I can't go without the initial feeling of having others in my life. And that's where I'm at. I work my program now. I've been going to meetings for 30 years. I've been general service rep at many meetings. I went meetings for 4 to 5 meetings a week.
Some people don't know what a GSO is.
I'm sorry, GSR, general service rep.
Oh, okay, GSR rather, right. Yeah, you're the interface, what do they call you, for the group and
you had meetings.
The district.
You had the meeting. Well, you go in and you had the meetings. You started out, you know, you go in and you had the meetings. And you sit up at the front, everybody else is, you know, all the chairs and everybody is a part of the meeting. We're all in this together, you know. That's all I know. All in all, I'm working my program, and if it weren't for getting emotionally healthy, I would not be where I'm at today. And many, many, many people who are addicted to whatever need
emotional health. All right, let's backtrack a little bit. Okay, so you found your sponsor. You've had several relapses, and now this girl's taking you under her wing, and you started working the steps, right? Now, did you have a problem with surrendering on the first step, or are you ready to go? You wanted this thing enough where it was not that big of a deal. Did you have a problem with any of the steps? Which one? You do a fourth step right away? Did you stall it out?
The fourth step was the hardest for me in my life. The fourth step was the hardest. I think it is probably the hardest for everybody. I hate to say it, but I think it is.
It is.
Really.
Or
nine. You sit down, you realize who you've hurt and how they've hurt you, and you can accept it, accept what you cannot change. You have to accept everything in your life when you're in recovery. You have to accept it. You have to go forward, change what you can, and say F it when you can't, you know?
How long was your fourth step about? How many pages would you think?
The real one was after I got emotionally sober. After I saw a psychologist, I worked the steps twice before, but they were never real because I was not healthy. I wasn't emotionally healthy, Joseph. That's the problem. Once I got emotionally healthy, I was able to work that fourth step. And now, to this day, go back to your question. It was about 2 pages. No, about 2 pages. But now, every day as you get healthier, emotionally healthy, as you get emotionally healthier in the program and you're physically sober, you can do a new fourth step because, my goodness, we have resentments every day. We have life challenges. Do you know what I'm saying? We have things that may not make us drink or use, but we still have these resentments. You still have to
sure.
do that step.
Did you ever hear that step 10 was steps 4 through 9 in a single package taken in
exactly.
the present?
Exactly. I've heard that many times.
So you had your sponsor, you finally dragged through, you took the responsibility, that was the last part of the fourth. That's where I had my problem when it said my part. I didn't have a part, I was a victim. What are you talking? There was no room left on the
right.
page.
Hey,
I'm
a
victim here. Hey, the world is against me. I'm a nice guy. People did all this stuff they did to me. I had no reason to worry about hey, come on. Literally, there was physically no more room on the page for my part. The sponsor goes, "Where's your part?" I said, "I really don't need it. I'm a victim here. You don't get it." And it's funny. My first sponsor early on did the same thing I did. Exactly the same. I couldn't believe it. God really knows what he's doing when he puts us together sometimes. It wasn't his part either. I completely understand. We're going to have to take another tact on this. But anyway, okay, so you got your fourth step. Your fifth step went good. That's a connection. You made the connection with God.
The sharing of my fifth step with my female sponsor, she shared her story. I mean, deep. And that's when it really hit home. I was very blessed to have her share what she did after I shared mine. The sad thing is when I left Minnesota, and they say you should wait 1 year before you become romantically involved with someone or whatever they say. What is
that's
it?
That's an opinion that has, there's really, that's opinion's been going around a long time. My sponsor said looking for a mate in AA was like looking for Olympic hopefuls in a polio ward. He also said that.
Okay.
He also said under every slip, under every skirt, there's a slip. The chances were good, but the goods were odd.
Okay. Well, listen.
I met my husband
on Facebook. November 27th was my sobriety date, and he came back to Minnesota in October for us to meet. We fell in love. He came back in December. On December 5th, he proposed to me. So on December 5th, I accepted his engagement proposal, and I waited my year. I did that. I waited my year. I did it.
I know a lot of people do that, and that's okay. I mean, that's been the agreement, the reason why, because you don't want to get romance entangled in working the steps. The thing is, if you work the steps in a timely manner, then it doesn't say anything in the big book about that. See, this is something that's evolved. That's evolved.
You know what?
This is just a
lot of the things they say in A aren't said in the big book. A lot of things they say aren't. Really?
What a shame,
but
huh?
My sponsor... After I got engaged, okay, on December 4th, I got engaged. And my sponsor called me and said, I can't be your sponsor anymore.
Oh, brother. Oh,
and listen, Dave came back to Minnesota and moved me to New York 2 months later. That's when my sponsor let me go. And you know what? God has a reason for everything. But he does. And a reason, a season, and a lifetime. And you've never seen that, I'm going to send it to you. It has more meaning than anything in this world next to recovery. Recovery is something you have to work from within you. You have to work it from inside. God's will is sometimes hard to define. It's different for each of us.
I tell you this. When people say, well, what is God's will? And I'll say, when we're in the service of our fellow beings, are we not in the service of our God? And when we're in that service and in that moment, is that not when we're divorced from self-delusion, self-seeking, and self-pity? And in that service and in that moment, is that not when we make our conscious contact with our Creator, who lives from moment to moment, eternity to eternity, life everlasting? The magic words in AA is action and more action, for faith without works is dead. So I tell my sponsees, when you're trying to figure out God's will, look at service, because when you're in service, you're right on the beam. You can't be that far off when you're helping the next guy. That's how you know God's will.
The last thing I want to say.
Yeah.
Is having a relationship with God, a good sponsor, and being physically and emotionally healthy, and finally loving Dana. You know, that's what brought it all together for me. It helped me approach working recovery emotionally, not mentally, because I am smart. Damn it, I could have done it, no problem. But now I'm physically and emotionally sober, inside and out, and I have never been happier in my entire life. God is working through other people and through me in ways I never thought possible. So, and I'm not religious, I'm just spiritual. But I wouldn't be where I am today without God.
Have you always had a relationship with God, or was this something that you were introduced to by working the 12 steps?
Oh, no. I was introduced at when I went into the treatment center that specialized with people working with brain injuries. No, never.
You were an atheist, an agnostic?
No, I... hold on a second here. I had it. I found a place called Vinland, V-I-N-L-A-N-D, Vinland National Center. It's on the website. You can Google it. And that's where they take an approach to CD treatment that works with adults who have cognitive and learning disabilities, mental illnesses, and brain injuries. And that was a life-changing experience. That's when I found God and surrendered. I turned it all over to him and realized that there is a higher power, as they talk about in AA. You know what I mean? Mine is God. Some people have other higher powers. Some people use other places people think for their higher power. But I would say that at least half to three-quarters of us use God. And I was successful, and I've been happy ever since. They are absolutely fabulous. Vinland, V-I-N-L-A-N-D. Vinland National Center. And you can find it online. It's great.
Now, this is for people who've suffered traumatic brain injury, or is it for what? Challenged people or schizophrenics?
If they have cognitive and learning disabilities, mental illnesses, or brain injuries.
Ah, okay.
Their doctor can prescribe them with that. They can be eligible to go there. It's awesome. It is absolutely awesome. They have different specialized programs for each person for whatever your problem is.
Great. Had you gone there,
No, I'd never gone there before. I just heard about them. I was in jail for 11 days. And the 11 days was because they wouldn't release me until there was a bed or a place at Vinland Center because of my brain injury. And so I've been there, done that, Joseph. Trust me. Jail is not nice. I am not a jail person. And when you meet some people that are in jail, I'm not saying I'm any higher or better, but I don't belong in jail. Okay?
I felt the same way. Yeah. I shouldn't be here. I think that's the general feel, the lay of the land.
Yeah,
with people.
Well,
I don't think I never really met anybody in here and say, you know, I really feel home here. I feel real comfortable. I should have gotten here sooner.
Oh, I have.
Have you really?
Oh, yeah.
That's funny. All I know is that in the past 30 years, it hasn't all been about substance abuse. I was emotionally, behaviorally, physically, and spiritually unhealthy from the time I was born. That's when my recovery program, that's what my program's about now. For some people, it's substance abuse, eating disorders, sex, gambling, you name it. You know what I mean?
Oh, there's a lot of cross. Most addicts and alcoholics have a cross addicted, my experience, across the board.
Oh, yes, definitely.
And then once you deal with the primary addiction, and a lot of people don't get this, that the secondary addiction will come into full force and full flower. And if that's not addressed, eventually it can lead and does lead back into the primary addiction.
That's when they say when you relapse, you take off right where you left off.
Yeah. Well, they call the onion peeling back the onion because there's other layers of the, you know.
Oh, come on. I love onions. Come on.
Causes and conditions. And then when they're saying we deal with causes and conditions, that alcohol is but a symptom of our disease. So we are bodily and mentally different than our fellows. We're an extreme example of self-will run riot.
So we have to address
know,
some of these other causes.
When
I had one,
finally reached...
Go ahead.
When I finally reached a point of hitting rock bottom inside emotionally, that's what it was for me, inside emotionally. That's when I surrendered to God. That's what
was
I was
that
able
in jail,
to
or the, was it the auto accident, the coma? What was it? What was your, what was the final
okay, hold on.
Nail in the coffin?
It was, I think that it was jail. You know, laying there in bed, and oh my God, the people in there, and then all I know is I laid there and I cried and I prayed. And once I surrendered to God and I could talk to him, I was able to understand and work the 12 steps. Because before that time, I could mentally work the 12 steps. Oh, yes. I could admit. I could, you know what I'm saying? I could
right.
do it all mentally. But instead of my head, I'm able to do it physically and emotionally. One day at a time. I can balance.
What was your conversation, Dana? What was your conversation with God like? You remember what you said to God when you finally opened your mouth and wanted to have a chat?
I said to God, "Take me, do with me what you will, because I'm yours. I cannot do this alone anymore. God can do for me what I can't do for myself." So I said to him, do with me what you can do, because I can't do it alone anymore. I can't do it. You know? And I go to bed at night praying every night, and I fall asleep praying. And that's okay, because God knows my thoughts. He knows what I'm talking to him about. He knows what I'm thinking. And that's all there is.
So now what's your life like now?
Well, my life now is I have life challenges with adjusting to moving from Minnesota to New York. New York sucks, okay? I'm sorry, but New York sucks.
Now, come on now.
It does. It does. I guess
it's not, it's not home.
It that's not the point. The point is it costs too much to live here, and
it does.
I'm the secretary at our church, one of the secretaries. So we have a church family, church friends. We live in a town of about 800 people. Hey, it's wonderful, you know. I have my I have my critters, my animals, my 5 cats and my 2 dogs. And my wonderful husband, who works now again, even though he's retired from the Air Force, he's working, and it's hard to keep going with life challenges. The ex-wife was over today, and we got along, and we talked. That's a challenge. That has been a challenge the past 4 years. Having a stepson, and I love him dearly. And I miss my family more than you can know in Minnesota. You know, I was very close with my family, very, very close. Once I found recovery and sobriety and I realized the people I had hurt still loved me and they forgave me, I had a wonderful life. That's what it took, is making amends and starting over. That is the big thing. Once you start over and you have people who love you, they'll give you a chance. They will. They gave me a chance. If they don't give you a chance, then they're not worth your time.
Yeah, I've come to that conclusion. Some people, I'll tell you this, some people don't know me and they don't like me.
I don't like you and I don't
know you. Some people get to know me.
That was a joke.
Some people get to know me, then they don't like me. It's none of my business what you think of me, because you think so little of me anyway, if not in stature, surely in time.
Okay. I'm going to stop you. One thing my sponsor told me many years ago is what other people think of you. What other people think of you is none of your business.
Ah, there you go.
What other people think of you is none of your business. There you go.
I had one lady on Facebook, and she didn't like me when I first got on there. They're not sure about Rum Radio. You know, they figured I had, you know, well, yeah, you got to remember the audience, that I have an agenda. I'm trying to make money. I'm trying to be somebody. All of that comes into play. They don't know me. I'm a stranger. And she told me, she says, I don't like you. She didn't even know me. So I thought, yeah, so I wrote back to her, and I says, you know, Carrie, I think it was Carrie. I says, you know, Carrie, I says, I'm sorry to hear that, but I still like you, and it has nothing to do with my opinion, so there.
And you know what opinions are, right? Opinions
yeah, well,
are what
like you know, she likes me now. Yeah, she likes me now. Okay. And then she started supporting me once she said, hey, doesn't matter what you think, I'm still going to like you. It's
Did
funny
I tell you
how
what
people...
Opinions?
What do I?
Opinions are like assholes. Everybody's got one.
I've heard that somewhere. Anyway, well, I think we should calm down. You have any last comments, Harold? Harold, are we there?
I really have enjoyed the conversation tonight.
Are you still there, Harold?
Yeah, I'm still here. I've really enjoyed the conversation tonight.
Well, it could have been a lot of same shit, different day, but, you know, it was great to meet you, Harold.
Thank you very much.
And guess what? I like you. you're in trouble.
Harold's a professional. He takes it all in.
How do I get you as a friend on Facebook, Harold?
It's, let's see, my website is familytherapyhaven.com, familytherapyhaven.com.
Hold on. www?
Yes.
Okay, family therapy?
Yes. Haven.
Hold on.
Family Haven.
I
got it.
FamilyTherapyHaven.com. This is probably not the site you're looking for. FamilyTherapyHaven.com.
No,
that's it.
That's it? I'm proceeding anyway. How's that?
There you go. FamilyTherapyHaven.com.
And it's on Bluehost. It's on Bluehost.com. Okay, hold on.
Yes.
Can I friend you on Facebook, though?
Yes. What is my Facebook? Grandpa Haven?
Oh, get out of town.
G-R-A-M-P-A.
He doesn't use it like we use it. He's not there like we're there.
You know, yeah, I'm with so bad. Okay, hold on.
It's for my grandkids.
No, okay, what's your site? What are you on Facebook, Grandpa?
Yeah, Grampa. Grandpa Haven. Here, let me look at it again.
I'm going in here now.
All right. Well, we need to close.
We're done. We are done. And
unless
God
you had,
you
unless
both.
You had something, did you have something else you wanted to add?
Yeah, I do.
Go ahead.
Are you ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. God bless
you. Thank you.
Yeah, my Facebook page is Haven Boggs, Grampa, Haven Boggs. Boggs.
Hold on. Grand as in dog, Paw Haven, right?
Yeah, Grampa. Grandpa.
Oh, it's Grandpa. I'm putting grand. Grandpa. Grandpa Haven.
Yeah,
okay,
there's no
bye.
D.
Oh, And there's no G. You know, I'm never going to find you. I'll catch you later. God bless you both.
Thank you. And thank you so much for your time and your service.
I'm doing well.
Thank you all, and God bless.
The cleansing fast.
Thank you.
Like I don't.
In closing, I like to say, in closing, I like to say, Rum Radio and RumRadio.org. We're in 151 foreign countries, including Mississippi.
Cayenne pepper.
And you know we're in. Did you know we're in Nepal, Harold?
23 days.
Oh yes.
You know why we're in Nepal? You know why they like us in Nepal? You know why they like us in Nepal?
23 days, it was like, whoa.
They like our yak.
So I started eating after.
You are too funny, but looks on everything.
2,800 towns, cities, and villages, and between 400,000 and 500,000 hits to the website. So if you're looking for solid sponsorship information, and it's quite, some of it's a little poetic, spiritual, and quite humorous, I would dare say. If you got them laughing, you got them listening. Remember, if you want the sponsorship information, it's Rum Radio, and it's and like usual, we'll see you on the radio, rumradio.org. Good night.
Good night.
That's huge. You going to eat?
No, I'm doing the fast.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm doing the fast, so I'm not going to. I'd like to go, but I'll be smelling food, and I'll be drooling. Because basically what happens, I'm starving.
Oh, you could in your cola now.
Yeah. See, at night I'll drink Smooth Move, which is a laxative, get a little food.
Oh, okay.
And then in the morning I drink a quart of water with sea salt in it. You like latte? No, I think I'll have some sea salt. Thank you. It's like, drink a quart of it.
Well, I think I'll drink seawater.
Yeah, you drink seawater because it has the same. It has the same It has the same density as your blood. So the body doesn't recognize it, it's blood, so it doesn't absorb the salt. And the kidneys don't absorb the water, and it passes right through the colon. So it washes the colon out.
Oh.
So you take all that crap that you've been taking, the stuff, and it's a fast. And the word fast comes from the German word fasten, which means to rest. So you're resting your body so it can clean all the crap out. First time I did it, I've done it many, many times. The first time I did it, my gums swelled up and bled. All the toxins were coming out of my mouth. I
eat
it.
What are you going to eat at?
Kalina's?
Kalina's,
yeah.
What is it? That's over there, right around the corner on the... You go down the 359 feeder road, turn right, west Lake, or past the Edwards Theater. There's a little strip center right there on the next street. Thank you, Spitzler. It's the Italian place. You were there before because you were joking around with them. So, it's the one with the long table in the checkered
Italian food.
Yeah, spaghetti, meatballs, pizza.
Yeah.
Okay.
You going?
You've been there before.
You going?
No, I can't go. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, I've done that. I've done that with AA. It's like, you know what, I do a lot of AA stuff. And I've done the fast, and then I've gone out to eat with them, and I'm miserable. Because I'm smelling, you know, food, and I haven't eaten in like 3 days.
Oh, man.
Yeah, like, I'm not going to torture myself.
Yeah, right. You're right.
It doesn't pay.
You're right.
See you, bud.
All right,
yeah, do that. Thank you.
It's very informative. Hey.
Good, thank you. How you doing? You still doing your Sunday shtick, or?
Huh?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, you had a ministry going on Sunday for a while, right?
Yeah, I did. I'm actually about to start it up again, but it's only going to be once a month or something like that. And then, but it's actually, I'm teaching Bible and Revelation.
Oh, cool. Oh, John, you do Revelations?
Revelation.
Oh, yeah. I always had the hardest time with that. I'm getting a little bit more on that.
You should. Yeah.
Yeah, because there's a lot of, you know, well, I know that. The animals represent the felicity of animals, of creation. Ever hear that?
Are you talking about the...
Because he sees God with the animals and the eyes and the all-seeing eyes.
Yeah, that's Ezekiel, though.
Oh, no, it's in Revelation.
Are you talking about, okay, when the lamb was slain? I'm trying to think.
I mean, there's so much in there. I mean, it's just a lot of abstract concepts in there.
Well,
you remember there was, yeah, the...
It's actually real time events coming out for real people. The reason we don't know it, we didn't realize it, is because the ancients described things differently than we did.
Well, they didn't have the vocabulary. Like
they just had a different way of describing it. It's like the locust in there, the woman's looking, has a face like a... I could show you a picture of a grasshopper that looks like it has a human face.
Right, right.
And so anyway, the Lord showed me the cause of the trumpets and bowls. So they're real time events. And it's caused by an astronomical event.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Oh,
so I've been writing.
That's a revelation.
Yeah. But that is actually the year on the cusp, because that thing that's called the thing that's called that means group. That's been around before. But there are 490 legends. Talk about the blood rate.
Can you see it back here now? You see
the thing is coming back. The thing that caused the flood is coming back, and that's why our Earth is moving in orbit twice.
Interesting. The end of days. Huh.
Well, we are on
it. Yeah, I know it is. You ever hear the term the quickening?
Have you ever heard that? The quickening?
That sounds very familiar. I need to, I'm trying to go.
It's the, yeah, it's the time when men's knowledge doubles exponentially.
That's happened already. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but you were going to, what, in the Sunday?
I'm going to send everybody the text. Can you not get it? Okay. I'll send you.
Okay. You got my number? You need my number again? Yeah. My card. You got the card? Have you ever been to the website? Rumradio.org?
No.
You know, I've hidden the gospel of Jesus Christ in plain sight to the understanding of children. Because my ministry is to the heathen. You know, they have a hard time with Jesus, let alone heavenly.
See, I can explain a very lot of things.
Oh, let's just...
Yeah.
That's cool. That's revelation. So you've had a revelation. You've had... Your mind has expanded to the point you can understand that. Most people don't get that. They don't... You know, they're not in a position... So most people need it to keep. They got to keep it simple because that's as much as they're gonna get. They're not gonna get the other stuff.
Well, see, what I was always explaining is that things like the fact that the world actually was spoken in Jesus. They found out in quantum physics that they think
similar. But the same way? Oh, you know, I'm writing to. I'm trying to work something out with Gideon. You know the.
Gideon family.
Son of Joash in Judges. And when during the battle, there was two battles. A lot of people didn't get that. There was four battles, but he had two battles. And both battles were at night. And there was a chant they used. So I took the chant, I took the words out of the Bible and did the Hebrew to see what it sounded like. It makes the hair stand up on the back of your neck. They chanted. And it was 300 of them. Remember that? It was 300. And he took the 300, and the Lord said, no. He said, I want you to split that up into 100 groups. Three groups of 100 that represented the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And the commandment was, and he gave him certain things to do, had to break a pot, hang a light, and blow the shofar all at the same time, at this one man. So it's the true nature of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, acting as one man. And that's the true nature of God, that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, acting as one man. And if you are one, you are mine. And then, of course, the sound is all about sound. It's funny, interesting that you came up with that. Well, because it's all about harmonic.
And then Jesus is the substance of it all.
In the beginning there was the word was made flesh, and through him all things were made. Has not been made. Yeah.
And then you've got also Colossians and everything's in us. And the thing is that according to Scripture, Jesus is the light of the world. Quantum has a radiant energy. Okay. Also, he is the Word.
All right.
And then what was the first word the Lord said? Let there be light.
Let there be light, right.
Okay, well. That's
both. Yeah. No, it is sound. And then you had the sound in Jericho with the walls come up. There's a couple other ones I came across too, but it's all about sound. So he was able to go against 132,000 Midianites with 300. What? Do I know why? What?
Well, I
take it was because that they all had bestiality.
They, in the first place, in archaeological history, they found
Well,
tuberculosis can be bad. And so he had that's why he ended up in that family at Aiken.
Right.
Because they had been exposed.
Oh. Okay, yeah, I always thought it was because of syphilis.
Because, yeah.
That had something to do with it, but they were all
So we're going to go to Spaghetti Warehouse about 6:30. They're going to seat us by 7, so it's giving people a little 30-minute window that if they're running late or whatever. And we'll be in the upstairs basement room. We rented the upstairs room, and so we're going to have some fun games.
Yeah.
Outside the box, not boring. I've had enough of this boring little get to know you kind of thing. I'm thinking outside the box to make it fun. If anybody don't want to do it, they don't have to, but it'll be funny. And I even have a hilarious story that I'm thinking about. I have something I saved in my phone. I titled it World's Funniest Story. I laughed so hard to where I would like gagging because I was laughing so hard. So.
Okay. I'm on a 10-day trip.
So
it just never, one of my ex-wives said, I said, this is a bad time to get a divorce. And she said, there's never a good time for something like this. And that when I do fast, that's just the way it goes sometimes.
Never a good time.
Yeah.
It's going to be a birthday party or Thanksgiving. I found out I was diabetic right in pregnant, right before Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's. That was the most torturous time of my life.
Did you ever check out my website?
I don't think I did. For quite a while, I haven't had a computer then.
Oh, you have a computer now?
I do, and yesterday I tried starting it up, and I had left it on the night before, and I'm worried somebody hacked into it because it wasn't shutting off, and it wouldn't let me turn it off, and then it wouldn't come on the next today, and then all of a sudden it was on by itself, and I'm like, so I think it's been hacked. So I'll see.
Well,
I use my phone, but not a whole lot. But I do
most people
go on
the phone now.
Yeah. I mean, I've got the phone that has like the biggest screen I could get, so I use my phone.
That's fun.
Yeah, it's a Galaxy 3.
Oh, the 3. I didn't know.
The 3.
How big is this? Is it bigger?
No, it might be small, but I bought this one right before they came out with a 4.
The Galaxy, this is the Note 2.
Yeah, the Note, I think, is a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
But at the time, it was the biggest screen they had.
Yeah.
So, and people were like, man, that's so huge. I didn't see that. I said, are you kidding?
How about this?
Then I started pulling things
like
up and show them, and they're watching videos. They're like, wow, man. I said, see, I told you. You sit there and thought something was wrong with carrying a big phone, but I can sit there and watch a movie on it. How's your phone working for you, especially that little keyboard? I'll see how people type on these little microscopic screens. I'll take these big
platforms any day. I hated to do it, though, but I can run my radio show from this.
Yeah. I like it. I like the big platforms.
Yeah, they're nice. Driving is tough, though. Driving is tough.
My phone tape has a stand on the back of it.
Oh, so you just, nice. Oh, you just punch it.
But I want to get one of those. They have this thing, Walgreens carries them, that you can stick it on your windshield, and it holds it at any angle you want it to hold.
Oh, and then you could just punch it.
I
want
to get one of those.
Oh, okay. All right, good. I'm glad you told me.
Hold it. Just like radar detectors and whatever GPS does. Anyway.
Well, thank you for the offer, though. I would have loved to gone. I really would have.
Yeah.
But with tonight I'm not going to go to dinner because I've done this before.
It's too hard.
I'm drinking this stuff right here. Do you ever see this? It's called the Lemonade Fast.
Oh, yeah.
The Master Cleanser. You do 10 days of cayenne pepper, gravy, maple syrup, and lemon juice.
Oh, yeah.
And you do that for a minimum of 10 days. Yeah, and then at night you drink Smooth Move with the laxative tea. And you drink, and then you drink a quart of sea salted water in the morning. And it has the same consistency as blood. So the kidneys don't recognize the water, and the blood doesn't recognize the salt, and it passes right through the colon. So it's washing your colon out every day, and then at night, when you're sleeping, the laxative pulls all the
garbage, and you're not using the energy for any solid gluten liquid.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pulling all the crud out of your body.
Yeah. Yeah,
I do it every so often.
They really don't have to comment on that. This is not enough study about cleansing. I think everybody should really learn and practice the cleansing. Because, I mean, most things we eat, like gluten, green colon.
Yeah.
You know, and we're
the
destroying
hormones.
Our kidneys and our liver and our peppers even. They don't all do that. That's the emotional thing.
Where's
the nutrients? And if it's clogged up, all the nutrients are passing right on
through. The colon is really where most of the nutrients are derived out of, the colon.
And if
that's clogged
up,
black,
you can eat
tons of plaque, and it's going to pass right through because of the plaque.
Yeah.
But the first time you do this, my gums swelled up. It bled like crazy because the toxins were coming out of my gums. And then you're going to get a headache a little bit the first day.
I want to cover the
about like the colon, the
he talks about fasting. He said he looks about fasting.
I did.
He talked about it, but please never be fasting. When you're going to stuff in the toxin, he said you have to have a lot of vitamin C. Because your liver and kidneys are being severely damaged by all the toxins being dumped on it. Because it starts moving all that from the body and it hits your kidney and liver. And they said, if you don't have vitamin C to combat that,
yeah. Well, that's where the lemon is.
It's really damaging. Some people just completely.
Yeah, well, that's where the lemon juice.
Yeah.
The lemon juice, the grape B is a carbohydrate.
Mm-hmm.
And then the cayenne pepper is a metabolic stimulator. So it keeps the metabolism. See ya.
Oh, good. Yeah, when you don't have any, none can be found, and when you found them, they're all over. go down that way. I bet you that would have been easier. Cheaper, right?
Drive 70 yards, then turn right, turn right. Calculating. Turn right. Drive 0.3 miles, then turn left. Turn left. Drive 0.6 miles and exit left.
Yeah, I think my computer works a little bit. Exit up. 1 mile.
Exit left.
Hey, you know,
whatever you do. Gosh, I can't believe it. Lauren, you're the only one who reached out. It's amazing.
Right. And keep right. Recalculating.
Drive 1.6 miles, then exit left. On the right way? I have my son in my bath. My third day, March 4th. 10 days. Friday is 9. Yeah, but they're interested. They let them go too long. And then all of a sudden,
certain way, you know.
Yeah,
all of us, all of us. Oh, yeah, huge. Yeah. You go on the internet, and people have even been able.